I want to read this morning from Romans 11 and 12, and do pray that God's Word would be alive in our midst this morning. Jesus named His Son. He had nicknames for His Son, like many of us. What was one of Jesus' other names by which we know Him? His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, okay? Mighty God. But I'm also thinking of this. His name is called the Word of God. God's ultimate, and we might say final, communication of Himself to us. So I'm just thankful that the Word is not pages in a book. It's a person. Truth is a person. Might help us all to remember that, okay? Truth is a person. His name is called the Word of God, and John's eloquent gospel says, "And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." It's powerful, isn't it? So if you would just begin with me this morning by the affirmation that the Word of God is living, it's active, it's sharp, and it's here to help us, all right? Anybody remember last week our scripture or our points we made from Psalm 50? Anybody remember anything from last week? Because we'll kind of keep a theme going. You weren't here, Misty, you're laughing. So you don't have to, you're not on the spot like the others who were here. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Cheryl's pulling out her notes. Teresa? Yeah? No? Okay. Okay. We read Psalm 50, and God drew this beautiful, or David drew this beautiful picture of God calling everything to account. Remember? This kind of holy court. He said, "Gather my godly ones to me, those who've made a covenant with me by sacrifice." And he just, in his kindness, is always redemptively bringing us back to himself and recentering us. He said, "I don't need your what? I don't need your bulls and goats." He said, "I don't eat them. I don't need them." He said, "Everything in the earth is mine. I don't need what you're bringing. What I do need is if you'll offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and just keep your vows. Just do what you should do, and what you've promised you'll do." So God, in His wonderful redemption, is always bringing us back. And then our reference to Hebrews chapter 12, where He says, "Please never forget that God is dealing with each of you as a father deals with his children, his sons." He said, don't ever forget that, because if you do, you'll get a wrong view of what's happening in your life. You'll misinterpret it. He's dealing with each of us as a father deals with his sons. And not only that, but that we might, he's doing it so that we might share in his holiness. There's method to God's madness in dealing with you, no matter what it is. He's dealing with you as sons. Fatherhood still remains the preeminent nature of God and the way that we know Him. He chose that way to reveal Himself, and then in giving us the Son, we have this picture of a Son relating to the Father, Father loving the Son and offering the Son, always dealing with us as His children. I want to read from Romans 11, and then I'm maybe relate some of this. But I'd like to talk about recentering. That's kind of the theme in my heart, and how God's always bringing us back. Everything about judgment is always redemptive. It's a good thing. It's good when the Father sits down and says, "Let's have a little talk." Okay? If He's dealing with us as with sons, He's not here to beat us. He's here to say, "Son, we need to talk. We need to talk about some things. What you're bringing me is not doing you any good, and it's not blessing me. Can we adjust?" and we bring the fruit of your lips in line with your heart? Can we get the two together to where they come together, to where what you're singing is coming out of your heart? It's not just methods, it's not just music, it's not just religion. I'd like for your heart and your actions to line up. That's all the Father wants. He wants us to line up and be congruous in our thoughts and actions, in our heart, in our offerings. But never forget, if God is going to deal with us, it's always going to be as a loving Father, as a Redeemer. Okay? So Paul in Romans chapter 11 is finishing this wonderful essay and story of how God used Israel to awaken the Gentiles to salvation, turned around and used the Gentiles to awaken the Jews. And that's how he arrives at this beautiful song of verse 33 in Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing at. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has ever been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? And these are what we call, what kind of questions? Rhetorical. They don't really need to be asked, but we need to ask them of ourselves occasionally. Who's ever given to God, Brooklyn, that God should repay him? You ever done something for God so that now he is in your service and he owes you something? I don't think so. But we need to ask that and restate it for clarity so that we'll stay centered. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. All right, could we read that again? For from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. That's a good place to start if we're going to recenter, isn't it? From him, through him. Everything flows through him. He misses nothing. He's not not cognizant of everything. And then it flows back, not just through him, but back to him in worship. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is just a great recentering, isn't it? Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. I'm just suggesting that the world is always pulling us away from our gravitational center, who is Christ. Okay, to be in the world is to be constantly pulled from your rock of your gravitational hold, who is Christ. But he says, don't do that. He said, be alert. He said, don't conform any longer to that pattern, but continually be transformed by the renewing of your mind and proving and testing the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. For by the grace given to me, I encourage every one of you not to think more highly than he ought to think of himself, but to think of himself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. A great recentering of where we come from, who we are, and what we are to do. Just a wonderful encapsulation of recentering. From him are all things. I heard I watched the Fishing Channel, and one of the old first early professional fishermen, I think it's Jimmy Houston, he said, you know what the main difference between me and God is? He said, no. He said, God never thinks he's me. I thought that was good. He never thinks he's me. But how often do I encroach on his territory and somehow thinking from him, through him, and to him are all things? I love the way God has drawn us to himself and through the Holy Spirit allows us to call him Abba, Father. I love the fact that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I love the truth that everything that's his is mine and everything that's mine is his. But he is still God and I am not. He is still the Father, I'm still the Son. He will always be the Creator and I will always be the created. He will always be the Savior, and I will always be in need of redemption. That never changes. In spite of the wonderful way He has opened up His life to us, in giving us His Son, He remains God all by Himself. From Him are all things. Wonderful Father. And so, to recenter, Paul calls us back to this wonderful, healthy dose of the fear of God and the honoring of Him as God by Himself. The passage we read last week in Psalm 50, after God addresses His people, He turns to the wicked and He says, "One of your problems is you thought I was just like you." That's a huge mistake, isn't it? Not only do we think we're him, we think he's like us. He is not like us. He revealed himself in human form so we could know him, but he is not like us. He's not a man that he should lie. But I love his fatherhood, that from him and through him are all things. I was thinking of being dealt with by God as a father and the way my own father dealt with me and how I still think of those times. My father's been dead for maybe 10 years. But I think so many memories of good fatherhood. And how he is always trying to deal with us in order to share his holiness. There's no waywardness in him. There's no other reason or motive for him to deal with us any other way other than to include us in his other than-ness, to make us like himself. There's no other reason for him to deal with us. No other motive but to bring us to share in his other than-ness. That's what he did with Israel. That's why he called them back to the center. He said, "You're forgetting why I made you. You're forgetting that I called you to be mine and so I could display you to the world." But all discipline, the writer of Hebrews says, is for that purpose. I just have these stories and these pictures in my mind. One is of my wife's father, Mr. Amos Ray, one of the finest men that I've ever known. Didn't have an enemy and a man of integrity. But I recall, since we're now living in the house that she was raised in, I have pictures of him sitting in his living room. It's a little house, and the grandkids, which actually my children, would run. And you could run, make a circle around the house real quick. It's very small. And of course, he's there telling them, you know, grabbing them as they come by, trying to slow them down, and simply saying, "Get their attention, don't run in the house. Right, Papa. And as soon as he lets go, they're, boom. Of course, they're not running, they're just doing a fast walk. But every time, unfailing, a door slams and somebody's hand gets in the door and somebody's screaming. And I think about the father. And I think about me as a dad. You know, the mother's rushing to stop the flow of blood and the screaming, and the dad saying what? I told you so. I knew it. I knew it. Why did he know it? Why did he know it? He knew the fruits of disobedience. And he's simply saying, I'm trying to get you over here where that won't happen to you. If you ever forget that God's dealing with you as a son, you're just about prone to misinterpret every event in your life. From him are all things. Through him. Let's talk about through him. His eternal, all-encompassing purpose through him. Another way that we are transformed into his image is understanding that it all comes through him. I have three passages here that I'd like for you to maybe help me read, but here's the point we want to make. We'll talk about God knowing us before we knew ourselves. Okay? And that's the word before. He said it to David in Psalm 139, right? Who would read that one for me? Psalm 139, 14 to 16. Who's got that one? Just raise your hand, then we'll give you the other assignment here. Who's got Psalm 139, 14 to 16? Ben, you've got that, all right? I want to read Jeremiah's account in chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. Somebody have that? Kathy. Okay, thank you, Kathy. And then we'll look at Paul in Galatians 1, 15 to 17. Who has that? Galatians chapter 1, 15 to 17. Somebody have a Bible or a device? Okay, Teresa, thank you. Thank you. Okay, Psalm 139, 14 to 16. Ben? Your eyes saw what? Your eyes saw what? My unformed substance. We're gonna read these three testimonies of these people, and then I'm gonna flip it back to you. Okay? Your eyes, Misty, saw my unformed substance. He said, all the days written about me, you saw them before what? Before one of them ever came to be. Good. So who's got Jeremiah? Kathy?
Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nation.
Wow. All right. Before I made you, I knew you, and before I knew you or made you, I called you and appointed you, all right? Is that what he's saying? Before I formed you, I knew you. Who's got Galatians, Teresa? Mm-hmm. Chapter 1, verse 15 to 17, I think is what I have, Teresa. Stand up for us and read it loud so we can all hear it. Amen. All right, that's Paul's testimony. And we read some of his testimony a couple weeks ago, didn't we, from Timothy, where he talked about, he said, I was formerly what? A violent man, persecutor of the church. And here he's saying, when God set me apart from birth and was happy to reveal his son in me. So these are just three examples. Now, I know y'all agree with these scriptures. You understand that. Here's the point. It's one thing for us to think this way about great heroes in scripture. The question to you is, do you believe that about yourself? That's really my main point I'd like to make this morning, is to get you to ponder the thought, if you really believe that about Teresa and this Teresa and this one and this one. It's a little bit easy to celebrate it in Scripture with the saints and our heroes. But how many of you really believe that about your life? If you don't, then that's going to put you in some kind of a second-class citizenry apart from David, Jeremiah, and Paul. You have no choice. You're saying God knew them, but He didn't know me. He just kind of made me as an afterthought, and then I got involved with Him because I got saved. And no, no, no. From Him. Through Him. Are all things. So would you just ponder, just for a moment, take a moment, and see if this can become your testimony. Now, it's really hard, because for God to be able to do all of this, He's got to be really big. Yes. He's got to have a memory bank in His hard drive that's incredible. I mean, it's something that has not been nor will ever be created. Before the beginning, He told Jeremiah, before the beginning, I knew you. And so what really matters is that we see ourselves in this same light. This brings us back to a center that you can't reach apart from thinking about this. We can't quite, I think it's Eugene Peterson who says, apart from the before in God, the now doesn't make sense. Apart from the before God knowing you, then the now is just kind of a footnote. Why does the now matter? How can you make the now matter? How can you say God is intimately involved with me as a father if He didn't know you back before? And so apart from going back and saying, before I was born, you called me. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. I thought of a line when I was sharing in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago about running your race. It just came to me. I thought, look at what God can do with a face. Look at what God can do with 70 square inches of human flesh, billions and billions and billions and billions of time, and never make two alike. 70 square inches of faith. He can move the eyes, He can adjust the nose, the lips, tweak the ears. Completely different. And do that over eternity, billions and billions and billions of time. Look around. There's no, you two don't even look any, well, you two look similar. You two don't look anything like. You got a hairy face and a gray beard. What can God do with a face? What can He do with someone made after His likeness, in His image, and for His purpose? So this helps me. I don't know if it helps you, but it helps. I have to be recentered occasionally. I have to come back because culture is constantly dragging me away from the rock of Jesus Christ on whom we stand. I just think this is a great way to come back. And from Him, through Him. Let's just make it a mantra this morning. From Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. That really doesn't leave much else, does it? So, I just want to challenge you this morning, if we can think that about, and we love to quote those Psalms, we love to quote David, and the Right to Life movement, I think, has probably adopted that as their own word for the anti-abortion movement. You saw me, I was there, I was yours, I was formed by you. But can we really believe that about me? Or does God have two types of citizens? One He knew before, one he's only recently become acquainted with. Hi, I'm Bill. God, nice to meet you. Doesn't make sense, does it? So your everyday life, the things you do, the offering of your life to him, cannot be meaningful unless there is a before. Before I made you. And all of this, of course, it may be somewhat affecting my thinking because we are expecting a new grandbaby, and I'm thinking that little child's very much alive. She's already got a name. And I remember Brantley sharing on this theme one time, and he talked about visualizing the angelic host leaning over an empty womb and discussing, well, how shall we make this one? What shall we put into this one that's not in anybody else? What kind of special, unique, not just with this face and these eyes, but internally, what can we make that's going to ultimately find its expression in him and in worship to him? See? Part of what this helps me do is not just see myself correctly, but to see the rest of God's creation correctly. It helps me in ministering or relating to people to look at that person and say, well, somewhere, somehow, they've got a history with God too. Because he saw them. He made them. And he loves them. And he wants them back in the house. So from him, the Creator God, through him, known before time, and to him. Again, my oft-quoted scripture from Colossians, all things made by him, for him. To him. God told Jeremiah, he said, I not only saw you and formed you, but he says, I'm giving you. I'm appointing you as a prophet to the nations. I think the word means given. I'm giving you. I made you, formed you, put a word in you, now I'm going to give you to Israel as a voice. It's a great, great way to recenter. God gave David to Israel. Oh, I forgot to assign homework. I'm sorry. I have homework for everyone. Psalm 78. Okay, it'd be fun for the whole church to read the same passage this week. Just sometime. You want to read it every day, that's fine. Psalm 78, okay? We'll see God over and over again bringing us back to himself. And it's interesting, I think that psalm ends with God celebrating the fact that he's giving David. He said, I finally found one that will shepherd Israel after my own heart. That's, I think, the end of 78, if I'm not mistaken. So Jeremiah is appointed and given to the nation as a voice. David, given to Israel as a redemptive and prophetic sign that there is a king coming who will shepherd my people after the integrity of his heart. Speaking, of course, of the great shepherd, Jesus. Saul, I formed you, I knew you, and I'm giving you. I'm giving you to the Gentiles. You're going to be a door. You're going to stand before kings and priests and open the door to the nations. I'm giving you to the world, to him. Jesus is called the Lamb slain from before. Everybody say before. So if there wasn't a before with Jesus, certainly his now wouldn't make sense. We've labored that many, many times before about Jesus himself saying, I got to do what's already written about me. Okay, and how interesting it would be if we lived our lives thinking there's something written about us and we need to do it. because there's a before. And so we're created by Him. He's our Father. He's dealing with us as His children. It's a wonderful thought. He knew us before, and now He's giving us. He's ordaining us or giving us. Again, I think it was Peterson who said, the universe runs on giving. That's a great line, Jack. The universe runs on giving. For God so loved, He gave. I'm giving you Jeremiah. He's going to be a spokesman that will recenter you on why you're here and why I called you Israel. I'm giving you David. I'm appointing him as a king that's going to show you what the true kingdom is going to look like a little bit. David's reign was characterized by that brief period where the heart of Israel matched their offerings. Their worship and their words were congruous. He's rebuking them for bringing all of those animal sacrifices and their heart wasn't in it, but we do have that wonderful record of the dedication of Solomon's temple where all of those multitudinous animals were slaughtered, and it says the glory of God came down and filled the temple. I did a little research and I thought about, again, I'm quoting Peterson. I think I've mentioned to you that I didn't know that he was the son of a butcher. His dad by trade was a butcher. And he said it gave him great insight to the Old Testament. He said, we had a preacher one time. He said, I was a very young boy, and he was doing a sermon on Leviticus about all of the animal sacrifice. He said, I knew immediately he didn't know what he was talking about. So I'm sorry, Jeff. Jeff's here today. Jeff worked at Bryan Brothers. Most of you know that Bryan Brothers Packing in West Point, Mississippi, at the height of their operation, shipped hams and bacons literally all over the world. And for many years, every morning before sunlight, there's a line of semis lined up down 45, turning on Church Hill Road, just lined up, full of pigs. And at the height of their manufacturing process, I'm told, now Jeff can help me here, that every day, for many years, every day, they slaughtered 7,000 hogs. You got to be fast and efficient. Is that, am I talking right, Jeff? Am I out of the ballpark? Around 6,500, I'm sorry, 6,500. Plus a few cows at a while, they were doing some beef too. Yeah. Okay. 6,500. All right, let's just say, to be on the safe side, let's say 6,000 every day, every morning, every day. People are going to want bacon. They're going to want bacon over here. They're going to want bacon over there. Everybody loves bacon. There's a few people in here that don't eat it, but very few. Bacon's where it's at. I mean, bacon makes broccoli good. It's a miracle food. I say all that to say that David's dedication of the temple, where God got involved, after having told Israel, look, stop bringing me all these animals, I don't need them. They offered at the dedication of Solomon's temple, over a 2-week period, 144,000 animals. Do the math real quickly, it's 10,700 something a day. Some busy pastors. Throw them on the fire. May God be praised. Throw them on the fire. Had to have a lot of help. They think they're through. They had to extend the celebration to a second week because it says they were bringing offerings and animals from this place and from this village. And so the priests up to here in blood. And I mean, you got to kill and offer 10,000 animals a day for 2 weeks. But at the end of that period, it says the glory of God came and filled the temple. He said the priest couldn't even stand. Probably because they're so tired. No, I'm serious. Think about God getting involved with something like that. Now here we are from Him. He has born us as a father, known us before time, and giving us to the world. Paul says the least you can do is simply offer yourself as living sacrifices. This is the recentering that just really ought to take place in our lives often, bringing us back to our center. So I would just suggest you think about these things and keep the fear of God in front of you. He's always God and you're always not. But He's a Father. But to this day I respect my Father and hold Him in a certain place unlike anybody else. Because He gave me birth and He sacrificed and did so that I might be conformed to something other than what I was. Told me not to run in the house, and he knew eventually it'd lead to a bumped head or a smashed hand. And it always did. He was always right. We are created by Him and for His good pleasure. And then finally, we are given back to one another. I read Romans passage, didn't I? So in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You're given back to make the body of Christ complete. So maybe just this morning we would recenter ourselves on these principles of being useful to God. There are no second-class citizens, Robert Jamerson. Aren't you glad? In His kingdom, in Christ, there's no such thing as Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. No divisions, none. For they are all created by Him and for Him. They're all known by Him before. If you got a before, you can have a now. If you don't have a before, your now is not going to make sense. How many of you got a before? All right, you got a now. Let's get involved. Now. Let's recenter. Believe that we've been given to the world. We've been given to one another. That God's entire kingdom operates on giving and offering ourselves to Him. Will you stand? And we'll maybe keep this theme for a little while, and you can read Psalm 78 and we'll have some fun together. You can share with me what you got out of it. So, Caroline, what can God do with 70 inches of face, human material? He can, in this small amount of space, create billions and billions and billions and billions of unique creatures. How much more can He do that down inside? It's amazing, isn't it? So here we are, all given to one another, all given to the world around us. Nobody like you, which means nobody can do exactly what you do the way you can do it. Nobody. Nobody. All right, we'll stop it there. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You again that You are the living Word, having chosen, purposefully, clearly chosen to make Your abode among us, not up in heaven, but here. Behold, the Scripture says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. And so, Lord, thank You for being with us, walking among us before, in our before-ness, and now also in our now-ness. Walk among us, pull out of us, show Yourself to us, use us, activate us, stir us. But most of all this morning, recenter us, Father, on these wonderful, great truths that are eternal. that you're not going to do anything to us. You're not going to allow anything to happen to us. But what you can't use it to bring us into our other thanness that you saw before. Somehow, Lord, write these things on our hearts. Somehow make them useful to the people of God today. For your name's sake. For your own glorious name's sake. And for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. Amen. God bless you.